Josh, you sent me a video, and it just has, it's overwhelmed me today, taking in what was being said on this particular video and how it relates to the script that I'm working on for the next Watchmen broadcast set, subseries of a subseries of a subseries. It's going to be on enchantments and the enchanters. And that's what Manasseh did. That's like level 10 now. Manasseh, we're on level 10 of Manasseh building his New World Order pyramid, bringing him to the place where he is going to set a carved image in the house of God, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's exactly what's going on. And on level 10, Manasseh used enchantments. And I had studied this years ago. I had made some notes on it a long time ago about what enchantments were. The word enchant or incantation, they are the one and the same word. An enchantment, the modern word is an incantation. The older word is an enchantment or an enchanter. And those words, I love finding out who gave birth to our words that we speak in English. Comes from the word canta in Latin, which means a spoken religious phrase or a song. A cantor in a Jewish synagogue sings these little blessings. A cantata, I've sang cantatas before, Handel's Messiah is a cantata. It is a blending of scripture and music. To me, the best fusion of King James Bible words and music is Handel's Messiah. I love it. My wife, she doesn't like it very much. But anyway, that's what enchantment means. It has to do with the power of spoken words. Does that ring any bells with anybody? It should, because that doctrine is now all around us. It's all over the world. I saw it in Kenya. I see it here in America. I see it everywhere where these false prophets are telling everybody, your words have power. You can create things. You can do things with your mouth. Your problem is your mouth. The reason why you're sick is because of your mouth, and on and on and on and on. And that is all part of it. And it's taken me a while to compile the volume of information on enchantments and how they are seen in the church, how they're seen in this world right now. And I'm still, there was like a missing piece to this, and God is so faithful to us. And it's like I set myself down to work on the script this morning, made a few more notes, looked at some more things that some stupid people said, and then I watched this video. And I've already recorded part one of The Enchanters, and Lindsay's working on it right now. We'll have it out this Sunday. And I'm already gonna go, when I get ready to record part two, I'm already gonna go back and reference some things that I said in part one. Because I now, there's something in my mind now that I think I understand a little bit better than I did a day ago, a week ago, or whatever. And that's a lot of times that's how it works. So anyway, just be praying for that. And Josh, again, the video that you sent was exactly what I've been working on. It's like I said, okay, God, I need what's next here. And I watched the video, and, you know, there it is. So I'm going to give a little bit of that today because it's fresh in my mind and I can't push it aside to talk about anything else. We had talked about on Tuesday this idea of a triple helix. And there is going to be something added to man's word, to man's book, to his two strands of DNA. There's going to be something added to that. It's going to be a chain, an iron chain, an iron yoke. It is the kingdom of iron. They're going to add their uniqueness to our collective. If you've ever watched Star Trek, The Next Generation, and you understand the Borg go around in this cube, six-sided spaceship, and they go and assimilate species into their collective, and they are part humanoid and part computer robot is what they are. And their whole self-identity has been wiped clean, and now they're all part of the hive mentality. And in the TV show, they didn't really present this part of it. You didn't get this part, because in the movie, which one was it? Star Trek, I can't remember which one it was. First Contact, where, you find out that the Borg are actually governed and ruled over by a queen Borg, just like in a beehive. And I'm going, okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And so anyway, but that the, mankind is moving toward this dramatic, fundamental, foundational alteration and transformation and change. We're on a course headed for it right now. And we can sort of see in the horizon, this thing is coming very, very, very near to us. And if there was ever a time, and you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to keep saying it, if there was ever a time when God's people need to be in God's word and in prayer, that time is now, and it's going to increase as time moves along. Because we're going to need all of those spiritual defense mechanisms that the Apostle Paul gave us, or the Holy Spirit gave us in Ephesians chapter 6, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, all of those things you're going to need. In fact, let's do this. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and let's just do a quick inventory of what it is that we have and how we are going to survive the evil day. There is one great, big, huge, gigantic evil day coming. That's what Ephesians 6 says. I don't care about how your charts lay all this out. It doesn't matter to me. There is an evil day coming, and we're going to need all of these things on us in order to be able to stand in the evil day. We're going to need it. Let's look at, let's see here. Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to... That's pretty cool. 6 and 11. 6 times 11, 66. The number of books in the Bible. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I got so much going through my head. I just mentioned 6:11. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. And 6 times 11 is 66. That's the number of books in the Bible. You can do this. Okay? Check me out on this. Pull up your King James Pure Bible Search software. The secret coded software. Actually, it's open source. If you know how to code, or you know how to erase lines of code or whatever, I know how to erase stuff real easily. If you know how to code, you can get the coding for the King James Pure Bible Search software. It's under the GNU public license, and you can do whatever you want to with it. Okay? It's under a public license, which means you can take the code and do whatever you want to with it. I can't. I remember a few basic commands. That was a program language from the 80s. But that's all I know. Anyway, I saw this the other day. Probably some of you have seen it before I have. Book. Asterisk. Okay? Not only is it 196 times, which is 49 times 4, 7 times 7 times 4, the phrase Son of Man, the exact same number of times in the King James Bible. I'll show you. Okay? Let's see here. Son of Man, 196 times. There it is right there, 196 times. That's 7 times 7 times 4. Now, let's see here. Let's do J-E-S-U-S-C-H-R-I-S-T, Jesus Christ, 196 times. Exactly, same amount of times, 7 times 7 times 4. Now watch this, because here's the thing. Jesus is the book, and the book is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. And that shows the preexistence of Christ and God and all that stuff. And here's the neat thing. Type in that word book again with an asterisk, because it comes in two versions, book and books. And you hit that. Now, you see the 196 here, but follow the cursor here. Follow the arrow. It's going to go up over here. And I'm going to point to this number right here. It's in exactly 33 books. Woo! Woohoo! Isn't that cool? Jesus was 33. Some of you are going, what was he talking about, Martha? I don't know. Anyway, let's put on our armor, all right? And shine it with some armor all right? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let me go back to verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is coming after you, and it's not because you're right on all your conspiracy theories and the government considers you a threat to their plan because you figured it out. If you're really saved, you're an enemy because you're in God's army. That's what makes you, and it's what makes you dangerous, is that you have the ability to resist the devil and make him flee from you, and he does not like it. You are part of the body of the man, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ stands, all the devils leave, okay? So that's what makes you dangerous, all right? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and against liberals. I didn't really add that to the Bible, all right? Verse 13, now wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Underline that phrase, the evil day. He didn't say in an evil day or a metaphorical really bad morning where your coffee wasn't ready and your eggs were too hard and the hair gel ran out and you ran out of hairspray and whatever. We're talking about a day that's coming. It's called the evil day. I think that it is related to the falling away. And here's why I think that. Because in Ephesians 6, we're told over and over to stand, to stand, to withstand, to stand, stand. Having Paul said in Galatians, stand fast, therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Entangled. The video that Josh sent me references quantum entanglement. And if I get a chance today, because my brain is running 100 miles an hour, I'm going to be chasing rabbits all over the universe. I'll show you what that means. I'll remind you what quantum entanglement is. Look up the word entangle with an asterisk. All right. Let me pull it up here. Let me show you. Okay. You can get entangled in the land, the wilderness. They tried to entangle Jesus in his words. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That means you don't have affairs. He may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. For if after the 2 Peter 2:20, there's a reason why some people would tell you, no, don't read anything in Peter. That's not for you. 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And I believe with all my face that quantum entanglement is a spiritual idea. Yes, they're talking about quantum particles, and if this particle over here in Austin, Texas puts on a pair of sunglasses, then this quantum particle over here in Nashville, Tennessee, all of a sudden has a pair of sunglasses on. That's quantum entanglement. They don't know how it works. They just know it does. Oh, man, I can't even... I'm reeling today. It's one of these days I came in and I'm going, I don't know what I'm going to do today. And now I can't stop it. I feel, make it stop, go away. Quantum entanglement has everything to do with as above, so below, yin and yang, square and compass, all of that stuff. And the video that was sent to me was this lady mentioned entanglement as a good thing. Now, think of it this way. I like walks through the woods, and I like horses, and I like walking through the woods. I don't do it so much in the summertime. because I am allergic to poison ivy bad. Okay. But in the wintertime, I like walking through the woods. I like going deer hunting, squirrel hunting, things like that. I just enjoy that. That kind of is a, like an outlet for me or whatever. And it's real easy when you're walking through the woods to get your foot caught in brush piles or vines that are growing or whatever, sticker bushes that we called them, sticker trees, thorn trees and things like that that are in the woods. It's easy to get your foot entangled. When you get entangled, what happens when you're trying to walk? You fall. Okay? All of these things are related. There is coming an evil day related to 2 Thessalonians 2, the falling away. We are told to stand in the evil day. And the only way you're going to be able to do that, the only way you're going to be able to do that is to take Alex Jones' advice and buy lots of guns and kill the New World Order. Not. It's not going to happen. He says, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins girt about. Paul talked about the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. You know what that means? Be sober. Do not be drunk in the spirit. Do not have a drunken spirit. Do not drink wine or strong drink. Don't have a glass of cheer every day. Don't do that. That's wicked to do that. Gird up the loins of your mind with what? With truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. And if you're one of these people that you think you find mistakes in the Bible, then you do not have the truth. You are forced, if you think you found mistakes in the King James Bible, you are forced to come up with truth in your mind. And God never said anything about you and your mind having truth in it. In fact, God called you a liar. He called me one too. That's what happens when you decide that your Bible's got mistakes in it, is that you're going to have to come up with something now that you think is true, and it didn't come from the Word of God. It came from your mind. And your mind doesn't think very well, truly. So you have the loins of your mind girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that does not mean self-righteousness. Because it's a breastplate. And if a breastplate has a soft spot, a weak spot, or a hole in it, that's exactly where I'm going to throw my spear. In the place where there is no righteousness. And you say, well, I keep most of the Ten Commandments. Okay? Let's say that one of those commandments is a hole about this big placed right here over your heart. That's what a breastplate's for. It's to protect the heart and the lungs and the vital organs. You have these blood vessels coming out of your heart that are about that big around. And I'm just exaggerating, but if you get stabbed in there, you'll die in 2 seconds. You'll be dead. You'll bleed out. You must have a breastplate that is 100% solid. And the only way to do that is Christ's righteousness, not yours. Some of you are trying to live by your own righteous deeds, by your own righteous acts, by your own clean-cut lifestyle that doesn't let any defilement in, which never exists. And I'm just saying, if you're going to be protected in the evil day, you'll need Christ's righteousness, which is 100% guaranteed, or your money back. But, of course, you didn't pay money for it. It was free. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Where's the gospel? Hear it again. It's right back in the Word of God again. Okay? Your feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. And I'm telling you, your faith is going to be tested. It is going to be when the evil day comes, people, when that evil day comes, there are people who are sitting in churches right now who are going to fall away. Why? Because their faith was not in every word of God is pure. Their faith was in their pastor. Their faith was in their denomination. Their faith was in their own mind. But their faith and their trust was not in every word of God is pure. They had in their mind a defiled Bible. So they don't trust every word of the scriptures. And I heard this one in Bible college. Yes, there are manuscript variants. There are things that one manuscript says that another manuscript says differently, but none of these really matter as far as any major doctrine is concerned. What do you call major? Because from what we know about DNA, and I'll make the connection here today, what we know about DNA is that one genetic sentence that is supposed to make certain proteins to do certain things in your body, just one of them can go bad and you'll die. That's the potential of what can happen. People with cancer, they had a genetic thing build the wrong proteins. Now they got bad cells, and all those cells are doing is recreating the genetic code that's in them that was corrupted, that was changed, that was altered. And the tumor gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. By the way, let me say this again. Pray for David Toomey. I talked about this last night. He had double vision again, and they said, double vision, we better look at your brain. So they did, and they found a tumor or some kind of mass on his brain, and they're going to try to take care of that. Had he not had that, because he doesn't have the double vision now, had he not had double vision earlier this week, they would have never thought to look there, and it could have been worse than it is right now. That's what Linda, she's like, she looks at a whole patch of thorns and says, oh, look at that rose there. I mean, that's her. Bless their heart. So here's what I'm asking everybody to do. Write a letter of encouragement, of just letting them know you're praying for them, that you love them, even though you never met them, you meet them in heaven. Send that to Bethel Church, 1233 American Legion Drive, Festus, Missouri, 63028, and we will get that to them. Do not, and I repeat, do not send them a letter telling them that they can be healed if they just have enough faith and that I'm misleading them. Because if you do, I will be visiting you either by phone call or by letter or by email, because some guy already did that. And he put his email address on he sent them directly a letter and told them that I was lying to them and that David could be healed if he just had enough faith. And I wrote the guy back and I said, don't you ever try to get inside my flock with your nonsense and heretical garbage. Of course, he didn't like that. So don't do that, okay? Because I will not like you for going behind my back. That's my people, okay? Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, that's what happens when you alter the DNA, the proteins, when you change one word out of the Bible, when you change one letter out of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. You just added the letter A to that sentence in English, and you changed the entire meaning of that whole verse. You said now that the Word, Jesus Christ, is an inferior God to God the Father, which is what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. That's cancer. Think about John chapter 1, verse 1, and adding the letter A. When you add the letter A to John 1:1, the Word was a God, you have now corrupted the entire text of the Scripture. Because it tells you in plain words that Jesus is and he was God even from the beginning. He is God. And if you go forward with that, with the letter A, he was a God, then it twists your entire view of Scripture. So, your shield of faith needs to be intact. It needs to be perfect. It needs to be complete. It needs to be refined. It needs to be able to do what it's designed to do. You are going to trust what this book says because your eyes are going to see something in the evil day that's going to cause your mind to doubt something in the Word of God. I don't know what it is, but I think it's going to be huge. And there are people, because they don't have a shield of faith, their faith is not in the Bible, their faith is in their experiences, guess what they're going to fall for? They're going to fall for a little heroin trip in the evil day. There's going to be some experience that is going to cause people like drunken idiots to fall backward. And they're going to think that's the Holy Ghost, because that's what they're being set up to think right now. And they're going to accept because their faith, their trust is in their experiences, and their dreams and visions. Rose sent me an email, said, if you don't have a subject tomorrow, talk about this. Please touch on all these dreams and visions that many are saying they're having from God about the destruction of America and World War III and all this stuff. She said, I kind of feel left out. I'm not being given dreams and visions. You want dreams and visions, Rose? Start in Genesis and work all the way through Revelation. There'll be more there than you can handle. Okay? People don't fall for Rose, I appreciate it. God bless you. I love you. We pray for you. Do not fall. Do not fall for the people who said, oh, God gave me a vision last night. I see it on Facebook. I have a word from God concerning America. I have a word from God concerning my friends. And God said to tell you this. Listen, if God wants to tell me something, he'll show me in the Bible what he wants to tell me because it's all there. But people have put their faith and their trust. They put their faith and trust in medical technology. They've put their faith and trust in the religious experts and the scholars. They've put their faith and trust in political parties. They've put their faith and trust in their own mind and their own thought processes. And your mind will deceive you every time. But they do not have the shield of faith and trust that every word of God is pure. And something is going to happen in the evil day that is going to cause most of this world to fall away. And if your shield is not intact, you'll fall with them. I mean, think about it. Think about this Bible being a shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, take an NIV, which has 64,000 holes in it. 64,000 less words in the NIV than there is the King James. What kind of shield is that? It's the difference. You know those great big shields the Roman soldiers carried? Okay? Put that up against one of those little bitty ones that some of those, I don't know who carried those. Was it the Irish? Okay? They carried a little bitty shield. Well, they're holding it up over the head. I'm going to jab them in the guts. Shield of faith. You're going to need it because you're going to need to stand in the evil day because the evil day is on its way. And I think that God's people can see it in the horizon. I think we can see it. I think the watchers on the wall who are up high can look across and see it coming. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. Let me just say that if you are not saved, you will fall. If you are not saved, you'll fall. If your confidence is in, who was it that did the show Conspiracy Theory with Alex Jones, the governor, the former wrestler, can't think of his name, I can see his face. You watch and listen to all of the Patriot militia, right-wing conspiracy anti-New World Order websites and YouTube videos. You watch every one of those, and you know what false flags are, and you can spot crisis actors from 450 miles away by way of a grainy YouTube video. You can spot crisis actors. You know about false flags. You know the members of the Illuminati. You know all the secret hand gestures that all of these people are making and flashing Masonic signs back and forth to one another when they scratch their nose at a press conference. You're going, ah, that's a Masonic sign right there. Okay, you know all of that stuff. But you are not saved. And along with all of those other conspiracy theories, one of them is Francis Bacon wrote the King James Bible. It's a Masonic code book is what it is. I don't read the King James Bible. Bingo. If you're not Bible saved, you're not saved. Oh, how can he say that? Born again by incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you're not born, if you're not Bible born again, you're not born again. You're not saved. And if we go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, the latter and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, I've examined the scriptures very, very carefully, looking at words and how they were used, at categorizing things related to salvation and being born again and being a son and on and on and on and on. And I do not believe that those who are truly saved, who have been given the earnest of the Spirit and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise and are sons of God, I do not believe that they lose salvation. Salvation is not salvation if it's lost. But I also do not believe that everybody that got talked into coming to the altar got saved. I do not believe that. It is manifest. It is manifest, and it's more manifest now than it ever has been, that there are some very hell-bound people. The expression I used to hear was, they're going to ride a church pew all the way to hell. And I believe, because that's what 2 Peter is addressing. They escaped the pollutions, but they got entangled again. Why? Probably because they were walking someplace where they shouldn't have been. They got out of the way is what they did. The path to Christ and to heaven is clear. They got out of the way and were entangled again and overcome. The latter end is going to be worse with them than the beginning. Their death is going to be worse than their life or than their birth. So that's what I think is going on. And if you do not have the helmet of salvation, if you are not saved, you will fall in the evil day and you'll take a mark in your right hand or your forehead. I promise you, I guarantee you, you will. Because you think that because you've spotted all the conspiracies and you've spotted all the Illuminati handshakes and you spotted all the things that the enemy's doing, that at some point we're going to rise up and we're going to blow this Illuminati away. We're going to send this Illuminati New World Order packing. We're going to take over our country again. Nah, that's not, you're going to fall. You're going to fall like everybody else is going to fall in the evil day. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, I believe in perseverance too. I sure do. I believe in perseverance. I believe in preservation too. Both of them. They're not contradictory. They're complementary. Perseverance saw preservation one day and said, "Boy, that is a really nice tie you have on." Well, thank you. Complementary to each other. Let me read a couple of news articles they're right here, right now. Judge Roy Moore, God bless that man. He's the guy that wanted to keep a copy of the Ten Commandments in his courtroom, and they sued and made him take it out, and he ended up getting kicked out of his courtroom. So he's then selected to be the Chief Justice of the state of Alabama. I love it. And here's what he said. The Chief Justice of Alabama Supreme Court has ordered the state's probate judges not to issue marriage license to same-sex couples. Despite a decision by the U.S. Supreme Court last year that legalized same-sex marriage in America, Judge Roy Moore, Chief Justice, issued an administrative order Wednesday. He noted that the Supreme Court of Alabama had, in March of 2015, upheld the state's ban on same-sex marriage. And then he says, 3 months later, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled bans on same-sex marriage unconstitutional. Moore wrote, trying to get Roy and Moore out at the same time, it's coming out, Judge Moore wrote, "Confusion and uncertainty exist among the probate judges of this state as to the effect of the Obergefell, which is the Supreme Court case, on the existing orders, that is, the March 2015 instructions that bans on same-sex marriage should be enforced. He also suggests that the Supreme Court decision invalidates the marriage bans in Michigan, Kentucky, Ohio, and Tennessee. That is the specific laws named in the Supreme Court case, but not necessarily in Alabama. And he said, I am not at liberty to provide any guidance to Alabama probate judges on the effect of the Obergefell case on the existing orders of the Alabama Supreme Court. That issue remains before the entire Alabama Supreme Court, which continues to deliberate on the matter. In other words, he has told all the judges in Alabama, do not go against the Supreme Court decision in Alabama that banned same-sex marriages. Don't do it, because we're still debating this in the Supreme Court in Alabama. And just because the Supremes in D.C. Got bought out, or they were scared out, or whatever, but they did exactly what Obama told them to do. Just because that happened, that doesn't mean that we're under that and we're not going to follow it. And you pray for that man. He's probably one of the most hated men in America right now because of his stand. And I guarantee you, there's probably been a rifle aimed at him, or will be. You pray for him. Here we go. You're going to see it on the horizon, okay? You can't see it now because of the curvature of the earth. Some of you don't like that because of the curvature of the earth. But the higher you get and the closer we get to it, it rises above the horizon. We can see now the evil day coming. Technology, biology, genetics, things going bad in churches and religious institutions and denominations and churches and the Christian leaders telling us that we all worship the same God anyway. Let's call him Allah. Why not? Because it's related to Elohim. Where's my buzzer? There it is. But here's something coming over the horizon. First chip that uses light for data transfer developed. I beg to differ. Here is a light that does data transfer. Okay. See that? Now do that. Hang on here. I'm trying to get it to do SOS like I did the other day. There it is. You know what that is? That's data transfer. It's slow, but it's a data transfer. So these guys, I don't know what they invented. But guys have been doing this for, I don't know, a few thousand years. Okay? Anyway. Let's see what they did. A microprocessor chip that uses light rather than electricity to transfer data at rapid speeds while consuming minute amounts of energy has been developed by researchers, including those of Indian origin. India. India right now is like the hot spot in the world of technology. And I have a theory, but I think it's because of Shiva. I think their religious dogmas in Eastern mysticism, I think there are spirits that are guiding these men in India in ways that man would have never come up with on his own. I think familiar spirits are guiding these scientists to come up with ways of doing things that 1,000 years ago could only be done by magic or incantation or casting a spell or mixing bat wing with eye of newt or whatever it is. But these guys are all open to the spirit of the Antichrist being from India. The new technology could pave the way for faster, more powerful computing systems and network infrastructure. Light-based integrated circuits could lead to radical changes in computing, network chip architecture, applications ranging from smartphones to supercomputers to large data centers, something computer architects have already begun work on in anticipation of the arrival of this technology. Everything that we're doing right now is we are speeding up electronics. We're speeding up data transfers. We're speeding up processing ability. A computer that can make a billion calculations per second. Now we want a computer that can do 10 billion. Now we want one that can do 100 billion calculations in every single second. Now we want a quantum computer that can actually go into an alternate dimension, a fourth dimension. and retrieve information and have spirits do the calculations for us in a moment of time, like the devil showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth. And how did he do it? He did it. He went, took him to a mountain that exceeded high. It was an exceeding high mountain. It was above what high is. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Boom, just like that. That's the quantum world. And I think the devil was trying to get Jesus entangled therein. Okay? Here's something else on the horizon. Gay couples could soon have children with traits of both fathers. Cue the music. Kind of brings a whole new twist to year of your father the devil and of your father the devil. Multiplex parenting is what it's called. Remember that phrase, multiplex parenting. Could allow up to 32 people to contribute to a child's DNA. I told you that's what's coming. And I want you to think about how important this is, that we not participate in that. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." How do we know? Because they couldn't. 32 guys couldn't go into a woman's tent and all of them mingle their seed together to make one child. It's never been done. He is the son of Abraham, the son of David. If you read the genealogy, it starts, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And it goes all the way down, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judas. Notice Judas is number 4. He not only is the fourth son of Abraham, he is the fourth in line from Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. And I think that's significant. But anyway, it goes all the way down. Verse 16, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And then it gives you the generations. Then if you go over to Luke chapter 3, there's a reason behind this. There's a madness to my method. Maybe a method to my madness. In Luke chapter 3, verse 23, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which is the son of Matthat. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because there's 77 names in here. And you get to verse 38, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Jesus can rightfully trace his lineage from Adam, from God. He is the son of God. He can trace his lineage all the way through the tribe, through the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Judah, which means that he is the rightful inheritor of what his father has left him. The rightful inheritor. When my dad passed away, my mom, she had rights to the house, to the car. She had rights to everything. And I inherited some of my dad's guns and some of my dad's. I inherited the world's coolest Indian arrowhead collection ever. And I have it. I'm not going to tell you where I have it. My dad used to go out into a field that was plowed every year in just outside of Jacksonville, Arkansas. And every spring when they plowed up that field, Dad would go out there as a boy and pick up arrowheads. Real, genuine Indian arrowheads. I have them, okay? I have little musket balls that he picked up. It's cool. My dad gave that to me. I'm going to hand that down to my whoever wants it, okay? I'm going to pass that down. They have a right to it. Some guy can't show up about 18, 19, 20, 21 years old and say, that collection's mine. Well, why is that? Because I'm your son. Oh, no, you're not. I know that for a fact. You're not. Okay? It has to do with the inheritance. Now, when you have a child who has the collective of 32 different parents. How do you even name a child? How do you even understand where this child came from? How do we know, let's say one of those 32 was the king of Austria. I just made that up. What if one of those 32 parents of this child was the Queen of England? Would that make him an heir to the throne or disqualify him from being an heir to the throne? Because, well, he does have the Queen of England's DNA, but he's got whatever in his Elton John's DNA, okay? How can he receive the inheritance? How can he have that? We don't have laws that allow for things like this. We don't have a regulation for this. We never even dreamed this up until the last probably 10 years. Scientific advances will soon allow children to have any number of parents, legal experts warn. The arrival of multiplex parenting is a mere matter of time. You see it on the horizon, don't you? As the techniques have been shown to work on mice and men, according to a study, in theory, any number of parents from three upwards of either sex could contribute DNA to create a baby. Sonia Suter, a law professor at George Washington University, has explored the issues raised by the technique called in vitro gametogenesis. That's an interesting word. Gamete. And I think I know what that is. Gametogenesis. Genesis means origin or beginning. She suggests babies could be used to create clans of large numbers of people linked through their shared offspring. Boy, you want to talk about a new generation? You want to talk about a new breed? That's what this is. And I want you to think this way. And I try to express this in Babylon's Mystery. For everything that God does, the devil has an alternative of it. God has marriage between a man and a woman. The devil has marriage between a man and six women, or a man and one man, or any number of perverted things. A man and his daughter. Any number of perverted things can go on now. That's the devil's alternative of it. God says that the two shall become one flesh, and when that woman has a baby, it's either a male or a female. In the devil's world, it's both. It's in a quantum state. They're entangled together. All right, you understand that? Such as what the rapture really is all about. The rapture really is all about our transformation, our change. And that's the language Paul used in 1 Corinthians 15. In a moment, we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He used it twice there. There is going to be a transformation of those of us who believe the word of God. We will be given a new body, and it will be superior to everything that exists in the universe. We will not have want of food. We will not sweat. We will not breathe hard climbing up a set of steps. Okay. We can, it's like the body of an angel. It can do pretty much anything. There is an alternate to that. A day of transformation coming. I think that the evil day and the falling away day is the transformation day and the mark of the beast day. That's what I think. I can't line it all out. I can't draw a chart like some people do. I can't do that. I just think that the evil day that is coming is going to be, as we are transformed, they are going to be transformed. We are going to be transformed incorruptible. They are going to be transformed and permanently made corruptible. Right now, everybody on this planet has a chance at receiving the incorruptible seed of the Word of God and being born again. But there's going to come a time when that's going to be cut off, because mankind is going to be changed. He's going to be transformed. He's going to be a new breed, a new nation of people, with all having the same fathers, Bill and John and Fred and Harry and Kyle and Gary and Trevor and all these other people, okay? The method would also enable the creation of solo children from one parent, as well as hope for infertile adults who would not need a donor egg or sperm. Professor Suter said that while the technical challenges remain, IVG potentially allows for methods of procreation that have never been possible before. Did you hear that? Methods of procreation that up until now have not been possible. Nor did anybody even think of it. And oh, by the way, let's not limit this baby with, I don't know, 30 dads. By the way, hold on. Cue the music. If the baby born has 32 dads, what does that make the baby? Cue the music again. Cue it again, just because I like it. That's what that article is. Possible 32 fathers, making the child number 33. IVG could facilitate multiplex parenting where groups of more than two individuals, whether all male, all female, or a combination. And here's what I was saying. Let's not just limit it to human parents. Let's throw in a fishy, a ducky, and a froggy, and a horsey, and a serpent, and a satyr, and an owl, and a unicorn. Let's throw that in. Let's throw it. Your dad, listen, when the Bible says you're a son of Belial, when it says you child of the devil, why does it not mean what it says? I think it does. And it's exactly where we're going. Being children of Belial. Our transformation into sons of God, their transformation into sons of the devil, children of Belial. Does it make sense now? And it's related to this number five, okay? I'm not even going to get into that today unless I chase that rabbit. But anyway, writing in the Journal of Law and Biosciences, the professor added, procreation in this manner troubles many people because of its significant divergence from our understanding of reproduction as something that occurs between two people, like God said. She said multiplex parents could theoretically lead to a positive outcome for a child, as the more adults who feel responsible for the child's well-being, the better off the child is likely to be. Are you kidding me? Does she really believe this nonsense? It would actually be better for the child to have 30 parents, don't you think? Because, after all, it takes a village to raise a child. No, it doesn't. My goodness. The more biological parents there are, the smaller each one's genetic link to the child. A youngster with two parents, for instance, gets 50% of its genetic material from each. So a child created by four people using IVG would get 25% of its DNA from each person, equivalent to the genetic share of a conventional baby's grandparents. Professor Suda said, for example, if 32 individuals engaged in multiplex parenting, see, that's so sick. That is disgusting. The 32 people engaged. Ugh. Engaged in multiplex parenting in genetic and generational terms, they would be like great-great-great-grandparents to the child. This is because a child conceived conventionally has 32 great-great-great-grandparents. She added, 32 adults. Hold on a second. Great-great-great. See, there's father, grand. I'm working something out in my mind here. There's the father, there's a grandparent, there's a great-grandparent, that's three generations, and great-great-grandparent is four generations producing a child. Anyway, she added, 32 adults simply cannot all have the kind of intimate relationship that is central to social parenting. As the number of intended parents increases, the social connections inevitably thin and intimacy diminishes, making multiplex reproduction more like creation of clans or a hive. How about a hive? The science behind IVG relies on cells that can be made to develop into sperm or egg cells known collectively as gametes. It means a woman could produce a sperm cell or a man could produce an egg cell. See, this is so abominable. And then, our mind is just being blown now because we cannot wrap our head around this. Oh, he has his father's left eye and his other father's right eye and part of his ear. And the left cheek smile comes from Billy, and the right side of his face smile comes from Ray. And then we have this one. Male partner pregnant with baby of transgender couple in Ecuador. Now, tell me what I just read to you. Male partner pregnant with baby of transgender couple in Ecuador. You draw it out what I just said. Draw it out on a piece of paper. Show me the lineage here. Bogota, Colombia. The couple in Ecuador is making history with a unique pregnancy. The father-to-be is carrying the baby of his transgender partner. I don't get that. Fernando Machado and Diane Rodriguez announced their pregnancy, believed to be the first of its kind in South America, on social media earlier this month, and it's received widespread attention in a continent that has seen a sudden explosion in the rights and visibility of tranny people, transgendered. Rodriguez, who was born Luis, is one of Ecuador's most prominent lettuce, gravy, bacon, tomato activists, and says she and her Venezuelan-born partner, whose birth name was Maria, decided to publicize the pregnancy to help change the attitudes in the staunchy Roman Catholic society. Although both take hormones, neither has undergone gender reassignment surgery, so the child-to-be was conceived the old-fashioned way with no known medical complications. I don't get this. I still do not know who's here. I have no idea who started out as a man or who was a woman and who got changed and who hasn't had changed yet, but they're going to be changed and they're the one that's pregnant. But how did they get pregnant? I have no idea what this says. So far, church leaders have been silent. It's because they're all going, I don't know what to say. I have no idea how this works. I have no idea. Mind officially blown. 1:03 p.m. January 7th, 2016. Mind officially blown. I have no idea how these people are having whatever it is they're having. I have no idea how that worked. Now, let me do this. Okay. The horizon. We see it on the horizon. Change. Change is coming. We can see it. If we climb higher, which get in this book, they shall mount up with the wings as eagles. All right. Eagles can see a whole lot more than you can. It's because they're high, not buzzed high, but they fly high. Okay, get your wings on, people. Get in your Bible. You're gonna see things that people can't see yet. But you're gonna be able to see it and warn them. Sound the trumpet. If they don't listen to it, that's just too bad. Okay. Anyway. Now you can genetically engineer living cells with a home kit. But should you? A new kit called Amino promises homebrew bioengineering for less than the price of a MacBook, which is like a McDonald's Big Mac. The Amino do-it-yourself bioengineering kit, a complete starter kit for folks who want to get in on the bioengineering game, starts at $700 and includes everything you'll need to, quote, bend DNA to your will. Here we go. everything you'll need to, quote, this is their quotation, bend DNA to your will. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. That's what's spoken of the strange woman in the book of Proverbs. Is that, and I made this analogy at the Harrison Conference, Bible Conference, several years ago. The difference between stone and clay. When it's on stone, it's unalterable. You can't bend it. You can't make anything out of it. You can't erase it. But if it's made of clay, you can mold it and fashion it and twist it and do whatever you want to with it. God's word is static. It's concrete. It is not meant to be altered or augmented in any way, shape, or form. And when I say God's word, I'm talking both about the Bible and every species on the planet's DNA. Every one of them. Because God wrote their DNA. God wrote their book. And God said, don't change it. Don't. That's why he wrote it in stone. Yes, that's correct. Your DNA is a stone. It's crystal. It's a crystal formation is what it is. And it's a light-bearing crystal formation because it's made of phosphorus. Okay? I love that. I absolutely love that. But anyway. Oh, by the way, Matthew saw this one. I'm going to show you this one. Speaking of light, you're going to like this. Because your DNA, the two backbones, the spines of your DNA are made of phosphorus and sugar. Phosphorus means light bearer. That's what it means. Okay? And Matthew, my son, said, Dad, you probably already know this, but I'm going to show this to you. And I just went and I went, that's cool. The word light, 272 times. Now, some of those occurrences means that the burden is light. It doesn't weigh a lot. But the word itself is in 46 books of the King James Bible. Oh, wrong one. There we go. Yay! Woo! I love that. Anyway, what was I saying? Where was I going? Oh, yeah, your DNA is a crystal. It's a light-bearing crystal. God wrote it in stone, and his intention was, do not add to it, do not take away from it. Because if you do, you will regret it. I will get you. Okay? This includes the main bacterial culture, DNA, pipettes, incubators, auger plates. You know what auger is? It's that medium that they swab your mouth or they swab something and they put it in the auger, they put it in a little petri dish, and that's auger. That's a growth medium for bacteria. You swab it on there and you can see the ugly nasties that are going inside your body. Various sensors for monitoring the growth and health of your culture. All of this built into a color-coded design-centric plywood dashboard. Now I at first thought that this was a joke. And I'm not 100% convinced that it's not. This is from technologyreview.com. And if you can do a little homework and find out whether or not this is a hoax or not, because I just don't believe everything on the internet, okay? This might be an April Fool's joke. I don't know. It's kind of like Google. Google sent out a press release April 1st. Was it last year, year before last? That from now on, your information would literally be in the clouds. That they were going to put servers, computer servers, on hydrogen-filled balloons or helium-filled balloons. And that they would circle, stay up there constantly amongst the clouds. And your data would literally be in the clouds. And people were going, wow, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was an April Fool's joke that Google was putting out. Here's the thing, though. If this is fake, if this is an April Fool's joke, it's like an eighth of an inch away from being reality. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Now, Google, I don't know. Google's weird. Google may just fill balloons up and put computer servers on them with, 20 petabytes hard drives on there and transmit your data up there in the cloud. They just might do that. They're weird that way. But we are on the horizon is DNA change, DNA alteration. And your face is going to fall off of your skull when you find out who said that that's a good thing. Your mouth will be open so wide, your head will fall into it, and you'll swallow your own head. When you find out, I'm going to show you the video, because YouTube has to take an antidepressant every time somebody puts something copyrighted on YouTube. And they get really nervous about it. Here's why I say we're on the horizon. Because all this stuff about change is going on. And 40, 50 years ago, nobody wants change like that. Everybody's comfortable with the American way of life. But things started changing in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, and oh boy, yeah, boy George in the 80s, in the 90s. The end of the world as we know it. Then the aughts, and now we're in the 20-teens. And we're approaching the 2020s. See, we're on the last half of the 20-teens now, aren't we? And by the year 2025 or whatever, 2020, I cannot fathom where we're going to be. I will say this. Something that I'm pretty excited about. You know all these drones flying around? These quadcopters, they call them. Four helicopter blades working in tandem together, controlled by a computer with a gyroscope, GPS, and everything like that. I bought one of the Parrot drones a couple years ago. I love that thing because when I take my hands off, it doesn't crash. It just hovers. Okay? It keeps itself level and it hovers. There is I think it's a Chinese company or something like that, that is working on a drone-based flying car. That would be so cool. They're building it and testing it, and it's in concept stage right now. They're putting it together. Oh, it's not ready for people to fly back and forth to work, but they're working on it. Finally, the flying cars are here, just like the Jetsons. Now, change is coming, and a long time ago, people didn't want the change, but now we want the change. Now we want everything to change. This changes everything. Start paying attention to the number of commercials and magazine advertisements and other types of advertisements that are talking about this changes everything. This will change everything, or everything is about to change. This will transform you. This will transforming banking, transforming government, transforming this. Everything's going to be transformed. See? It's the opposite of the rapture. It's what it is. And we are building a society in this world that will actually not wait for that change to happen. They'll reach out and grab it and pull it into themselves. This is where we are right now. We are developing so many rapid-paced, outstanding technologies that we're not even pausing to think whether we should be doing this stuff or not, or whether we should go further. We're just going, oh, wow, we built that. I wonder if we can build that next. And then they go build that, and they go, wow, that's cool. What if we can do that now? Here's the story. Patients favor changing the genes of the next generation with CRISPR. Remember what CRISPR is? CRISPR is a Bible scholar who does not like certain things that are in the Bible. CRISPR is a sodomite who does not like the wording of the King James Bible because the word sodomite makes them look bad. So we're going to use our DNA editing tools to take out the word sodomite and replace it with a shrine prostitute. Well, that's not me. That's what CRISPR is. CRISPR is being done. They're learning how to change DNA, just like the Bible scholars have been changing the Bible now for hundreds or thousands of years. And this is where we are, right? And watch this now, because they go hand in hand. It took quite a while for churches all over America to let go of their King James Bible. It took quite a while. Westcott and Hort were already dead and decayed in the ground. But then change started creeping in. And the NIV comes out in the early 70s, and then the New King James in the early 80s. And then all of the newer translations piled on the gang pile after that. And now you're not going to find a church hardly anywhere that will let go of the modern translations and go back to the King James. Very few, if any. Change. See, it started there. And now you've got church people. You've got church people all over the world who, if you say, I use the King James, they'll say, oh, you're one of those, huh? Whereas their grandmother would have said, well, there's only one Bible, right? King James, right? That's the only one we have in our church. That was that generation. But this new generation now says, let's change the Bible. We don't like what it says anyway. There's stuff in there I don't like. I don't like this stuff about me as a woman keeping silent in my church. No man's going to tell me what to do. So let's change the Bible. Now, patients favor changing the genes of the next generation with CRISPR. Jeff Carroll inherited the DNA mutation that causes Huntington's disease. I was trying to think of an X-Men joke, and it just wasn't quick enough. Jeff Carroll inherited the DNA mutation that causes Huntington's disease. It means that in a decade or two, he'll lose control over his body and slowly go mad, just like his mother. That's the reason Jeff Carroll, 38, says he'd be in favor of gene editing embryos. He says the idea of correcting DNA errors, quote unquote, that's me putting the quotations in the next generation has no ick factor. Ick means ew, disgusting, for him at all. I have no compunctions about it, says Carroll, who is a neuroscientist at Western Washington University in Bellingham. This is a British story. Of course it is a British story. He used the word compunctions. We don't say compunctions in America. I have no idea what it means, so I can't tell you what we say. Reservations, maybe. I have no compunctions about it whatsoever. This week in Washington, D.C., hundreds of scientists and ethicists are meeting at the National Academy of Sciences to debate whether society should sanction or prohibit, quote, germline engineering or altering the DNA of sperm, eggs, or embryos to correct genetic defects before children are born. It's a controversial idea, but now it's easier than ever to do because of a powerful technology called CRISPR. Many experts at the meeting seem to be leaning toward endorsing an indefinite moratorium on any effort to create gene-modified babies, calling the technology too new, too unsafe, and too limited in medical use, a position that has been endorsed by the Obama administration. But when MIT Technology Review reached out to several families who've dealt with devastating genetic... And what they're saying is right now that the scientists are leaning toward not altering embryos, human embryos, and making that permanent. All they need is for Barack Obama to go out and make a speech and cry. And then they'll change their minds. That's what they're waiting for. Obama, you want CRISPR to change everybody's DNA? Just go out and make a speech and bawl like a little kid. Guns are bad. And guns kill people. To some, gene editing means the possible end of an inherited genetic disease in the future. Seeing a case of Tay-Sachs or cystic fibrosis might be just as rare as finding a case of polio is today. Others warn of a slippery slope toward consumer eugenics. Music. You know what that is, don't you? That is eliminating the unfavorable races. That's what Charles Darwin believed. In fact, you open up a copy of Darwin's, what was his book? The Origin of Species. Back then, they always came up with a subtitle for their book, The Origin of Species, or The Elimination of Unfavorable Races. That's what it says in there. Getting rid of unfavorable races. That's what Margaret Sanger is. That's what Planned Parenthood is all about. You'll find Planned Parenthood in a rock throw distance from most ghettos and poor black or Latino neighborhoods all across America. Why? Because the core value of Margaret Sanger was we need to stop the blacks and the Chicanos and all the mongrel people from breeding because they're eating up all the good food. They're breathing up all the air and they're polluting the environment. And the Georgia Guidestones told us to. Consumer eugenics. We don't like your race. And I think I said this before. Think about it. Are there racists today in high positions of power? You better believe there are. And they're black and white. And the races right now of men are not getting along very well in this utopia that we have built. And all it would take is for a team of scientists to develop a strain of a virus that only killed black people or white people or Jews or sons of Ishmael or people from the land of Gog. All it would take is a group of scientists to manipulate a virus to only kill certain races of people. And you're going to have a race war and a race elimination that is, nobody's ever dreamed of before. Because the racists are still out there. But the issue is there is a growing number of people. Growing number. It may not be enough now, but a growing number of people who will be in favor of gene editing techniques used on humans to eliminate not just the future humans from having certain diseases, but the existing ones as well. That number is going to grow. Because, you know why? Because they don't believe the Bible anymore. They don't have a fear and respect for God. They're not taught God anymore. See, it worked, didn't it? The plan worked. The plan to eliminate God and the Ten Commandments out of this classroom has created a generation of people in this country that do not give a flip about changing DNA because they don't think God wrote it. They think it just happened and it's just part of evolution. So let's get this evolution thing going on. I got a party to get to. Come on. That's the generation that live around us right now. We're the kooks. We're the nut people. We're the crazy people who still believe the Word of God, who still believe the Bible, and who look at DNA and say, no, God wrote that. And he said, don't change it. Don't mess with it. They say, you're God schmod. Your gods are all the same anyway. They heard Rick Warren say that. That's why they said that. Now, get ready. Get ready. How can I do this here? I've said all that to say this. I'm going to show you something here in a minute that it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But it's here already. All right. Let me read this article. This one's called Change Your Thoughts to Change Your Genes, which I happen to do every morning, change my genes, okay? Change your thoughts to change your genes. This is just one of the topics science is now beginning to talk about openly. The writer of this, I'm not sure who wrote it, it's on the Alchemy of Healing website. Alchemy is all about becoming gods, men becoming gods, mortals turning into immortals. I have always known this. I've always known that we are a spiritual being having a human experience. We are limitless. I saw that movie. But it's so nice that this research is finally being talked about on the internet. In The Big Idea 2014, You Will Transform Your Own Biology, Deepak Chopra, you might want to look for this. The Big Idea 2014, You Will Transform Your Own Biology by Deepak Chopra. Dr. Rudolf E. Tanzi talk about another type of study in genetics that is likely to lead to a paradigm shift. Does that word sound familiar to you? Rick Warren says he does not preach repentance anymore. He preaches that it's a paradigm shift that they want to have. They need to change their thinking. They need to retool their mind. Then they won't sin anymore. Okay? That's what he says. He says, I tell preachers to preach, use the words paradigm shift. So he says, here we have a paradigm shift in how we perceive our bodies and our physical limitations. I will let you read it in detail, but the biggest takeout is this, and he's got different quotes here. Quote number one, genetics has been gradually stepping into a new era of, quote, self-directed biological transformation, a mouthful perhaps, but with great significance in each word. Number one, self-directed. Voluntary activity in your thoughts, feelings, habits, and desires. This is the realm of personal choice. Number two, biological. Effects at every level of the mind-body system, including reactions by your genetic material. I'm going to explain what they're talking about here in a minute. Number three, transformation. Major shifts in cellular activity leading to physiological changes. How the cells do what they do. The article says this means that control is being given back to each person. We are no longer seen as puppets of our DNA. This is written by somebody who does not believe in God. This and the spirit that's in this man, whoever wrote this, or it's a woman, I think. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, whoever wrote this, this person doesn't believe in God, hates Bible Christianity, hates Bible Christians, and believes that humans are puppets to our DNA, and our DNA is controlling everything. And I want you to think about what she just said. DNA is the Word of God. DNA is the Bible. The Bible is right, everything else is wrong. This person who wrote this says, I'm sick and tired of the God of the Bible telling me what to do and determining my outcomes. I will take control of that myself by my thoughts, by how I think, what I say, and what I do. I will transform myself, including transforming my own DNA. I will rewrite the book myself. Because I'm tired of being a puppet to DNA. That makes me... We used to do this when we were little. Somebody say something, you know, like really bad or wrong or let out a cuss word, all of us around us would go like that. And they say, what is that? That's my lightning rod. Because you're fixing to get struck by lightning and I don't want anything part of it. Of course, we never realized that by us holding up our lightning rod, that's where the lightning would go first. Anyway, it's what we used to do when we were kids. Here's the thing. They mentioned here that your thoughts have a biological effect. Your thoughts affect every level of the mind-body system, including reactions by your genetic material. The term, I'm not sure exactly what it's called because that's been almost, 2 hours ago since I watched this video and started looking into this, and I can't remember the term for it, but let me explain what they're talking about. Is this idea, and I'm just now doing the research, this idea that you can think certain things, and if you think them enough, then your thoughts are directly controlling every one of the 13 or so trillion cells in your body. And your thinking actually writes or rewrites your DNA. I want you to think about that. I want you to ponder that. Now, do we have a Bible verse that speaks anything like that at all? Well, actually, we have, let's see here. I know how under to look for. Here's what Jesus said about that. Matthew 6:27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Okay? That's what he said. Which one of you can, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto it? That's about 18 inches. That's a pretty big change. Okay? Why would you want to? Huh? You want to be a giant? But the New Age doctrine, Deepak Chopra is one of these Indian gurus. Only he's got a degree, so he's pretty smart, the world thinks. He and these other people are leading the charge, especially in America, at bringing these concepts that have been in Indian mythology for years. Now they're becoming on the forefront of even science in this country. The idea that we can, by our thoughts, transform and rewrite segments of our genetic code. We can change the book just by thinking about it. Which is what some preachers do anyway. They don't like the Bible, and so while they're here's a guy, he's a pastor, he just got a church that he finds out they're all King James. And he hates the King James Bible. So what he's going to do is he's going to try to get that church out of the King James into whatever translation he wants to use. And so what he'll do is he'll get behind the pulpit. In the first few months, he'll play it cool. And then he'll let something out just to kind of start the stew a little bit. He'll say, now, a better translation of this is. And what he's doing is he is changing the Word of God with his thoughts in those people's minds. What he's trying to do is change that church. He's trying to get rid of the book that God wrote out of that church and replace it with the book that man wrote or that he wrote inside that church. That's what he's trying to do. So again, all of this science that's going on in the world, the preachers thought of it long time ago. They've been doing it for years with great success, I might add. But they're not creating the body of Christ, they're creating a beast. But the idea is that you can, with your thoughts, change your DNA. Now, let's throw something onto the pile here. Because if man does that, if man has had this ability, even if he doesn't recognize it, that his life experiences and the things that he thinks are rewriting his DNA, well, then, of course, that means that when he transfers his DNA down the bloodline to his son or daughter, that child inherits the DNA changes that daddy and mama made throughout their life. They had a hard life, and they were poor, and they decided that they were never going to be rich, and they were never going to have money, and they were always going to be sick because they couldn't afford doctors. Then that was actually rewriting their DNA. And when they had children, every one of those children grew up thinking the same way. See how it works? But it's the idea that thoughts can change DNA. Now I'm going to bring in the rising star of this idea. Her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. She is a cognitive neuroscientist with a PhD in communication pathology, specializing in neuropsychology and at least six other words that are unpronounceable. Since the early 80s, she has studied and researched the mind-brain connection. During her years in clinical practice as a communication pathologist, she developed tools and processes that help people develop and change their thinking and subsequent behavior. Her science of thought techniques is what she calls it, have transformed the lives of patients with traumatic brain injury, learning disabilities, emotional traumas, and released the potential of thousands of young students and adults. It's all about setting this woman up as being this benevolent angel who wants to better mankind. Okay? That's the setup here. That's the biography about Dr. Caroline Leaf. She has presented her unique program called Switch On Your Brain with a 5-step learning process and the Metacognitive Map learning tool to thousands of students worldwide. She developed the geodesic learning theory, which is how we think and process information, that has been conservatively shown to increase thinking, behavioral, and academic performance by 35 to 75%. This revolutionary theory explains the science of thought, stating how thoughts form, how we process information, and the power of the non-conscious mind and the relationship between the non-conscious or subconscious and conscious. It explains that everything you do is first a physical thought in the physical brain. You think and then you do, which cycles back to the original thought, changing it. Now I want you to think of, whenever you hear that word cycle back, think of a serpent swallowing his own tail, making a circle. You've seen that, haven't you? That's what that is. You think and then you do, and so on. Therefore, if your thinking is toxic, then your communication and behavior are toxic, and vice versa. And what she's telling here is Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller, Kenneth Copeland, and all these others, power positive thinking, Joel Osteen, power thoughts, the power of I am. That's Joyce Myers wrote Power Thoughts. These people had this idea that we think creative thoughts and we think positive thoughts and we will speak positive things, and our words have so much power in it that we literally create our world by our thoughts and by our speech. And now this is added to it. Not only are we creating our own reality, our own new world, we're also rewriting our DNA as we're doing it. And if you think positive thoughts and make positive confessions, then you're writing positive things in your DNA. And of course, when you procreate, you will hand those traits down to your children, and they will just by birth be positive people. Let me tell you where at least part of this goes. Part of it goes where, I guess, Joel Osteen believes this, and probably many of the other word faith people do, because they never make negative confessions. Negative confessions would be a preacher behind a pulpit saying, you commit adultery, you've sinned, you're going to hell for that. See, that's a negative confession. Joel Osteen would never say it that way. He would say it in a positive light, like, God made you so much better than that. God created you to be in His image. God has a much better plan for you than to spend it with the things of this world. That's how Joel would say it, positively. Not say anything about adultery, say it's a sin, not say anything about going to hell and damnation and all that, because that's all negative confession. Have you ever heard Joel Osteen in a sermon mention people could go to hell? Have you ever heard him say that? When Larry King interviewed him, Joel, do you believe gay people go to hell? I don't like to be negative, Larry. He didn't even say it in front of a national audience on Larry King Live. He wouldn't say it. Because in his mind, he thinks and believes that if he says it, then people will actually go to hell. Because that's what the universe heard him say. The force heard him say that. The faith force heard him say, gay people go to hell. And so that plunges all the gay people into hell. And so here's the point. One of the ideas behind the word faith idea is that sin, things that we do wrong, is actually created by our mind. And when we speak it into existence, that's why we sin. And it's all purposely. It always is. We generate a sinful idea, and then we speak that sinful thing. And if we speak it, then that creates the reality of it. And all of a sudden now we got into sin. So their solution has nothing to do with the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross and the cleansing of the washing of the water of the word. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with positive confession. They teach and believe that you can stop sinning by declaring you are no longer a sinner. See, that's it right there. You think it enough energy, you think it with enough oomph, you think it with enough passion and emotion, and you speak boldly, I declare in Jesus' name that I am sin free and I will never sin again. Bless God. And they honestly that if you make confessions like that, you're sin free. That ain't how it works. You can't just be sin free by rewriting your DNA and making yourself sin free. Can't do it. You cannot even add a cubit to your stature. Tell me how it is that you think that you can control the movements of your eyes. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Pretty gal walks by. We do it without even thinking. With that, the idea that we have to first think sin, that's nonsense. That we have to consciously think, if I see a pretty girl today, I'm going to stare at her. You don't have to do that. Your eyes are so desirous and so lustful. And whatever it is that you lust after, as soon as your peripheral vision picks it up, your eyes are going to go right to that every single time. It actually takes work and thought to put your eyes away and say, I can't look at that. That's where the thoughts come in. They're saying that if you make positive confessions, that you will no longer sin. And if you rewrite your genetic code that way, when you hand that down to your children, what does that mean? That your children will have that super DNA in them. They won't sin either. That is not true. It's a lie. Which positive confessions are lies anyway. Because they'll tell you, if you go around saying, my back hurts today, you have already spoken your back into hurting because you thought it and you spoke it. So what you do is you just create in your mind the reality that you want. No back pain. My back hurts today. It's killing me today. I'm serious. My back is, see, I don't think that I'm killing myself with back pain because I said that. I had back pain before I woke up this morning. So all you have to do is create a new reality in your mind. Invent a new world. Sounds like guided imagery, doesn't it? Create in the imagination of your mind, which is usually the imaginations of man are against God. You create an imaginary world in your mind whereby your back no longer hurts. And you're able to pole vault and break the world Olympic record because your back doesn't anymore. So once you think it and create the world where your back doesn't hurt, then you speak it out loud. To who? To the force. The faith force that Copeland, Hagen, Myers, Osteen, and all of these other New Age prophets believe in. You speak it to the universe. The collective consciousness of the universe. You speak that out loud, that positive confession, and here's what you say. I declare that I am pain-free. By saying that, you just lied. You just lied. You said, I declare that I'm pain-free. You're a liar. So what you have been told was a positive confession is actually a negative one. Because you are declaring things that are not true. Ezekiel wrote about this. I think it's in Ezekiel 13. He said, the prophets declare peace, peace, and there is no peace. The prophets were making positive confessions long before Joel Osteen ever showed up. And they were declaring peace. And God said, there is no peace, you liars. So the idea is that once you rewrite your DNA with all these positive things, you have some children. Because then your children, on down the generations, will have these new, wonderful, glorious things written into their DNA. And it'll get better and better over time. And all of a sudden now, they'll just be born gods. They won't have to attain to it by positive imagery and positive confessions. They'll just be born sin-free gods. Now, here's how I know about Dr. Leaf. Josh, you have no idea what you unleashed. Here is, man, look away. Don't look at that guy. Okay? And by the way, this is Kenneth Copeland. And I'm wondering, does he confess his hair to still be dark, or does he use chemicals like every other man does? Because he's 77 years old. You know that, don't you? He's 77 years old and getting older every day. And his hair is not that color. So did he positively confess that his hair would stay dark? Or did he use a comb and Just for Men and Grecian Formula 16, whatever it is? Does he have a hairstylist come in and make his hair dark? Because you know that's not real. Okay? Anyway, today's message on the Believer's Voice of Victory. You can change your DNA. And his special guest was Dr. Caroline Leaf. Okay? And I'm going to read to you. I listened to this, all 30 minutes of it. That's something I don't normally do. And it has a lot to do with my mind just races all over the place. You probably know that about me by now. Anyway, Copeland starts out the conversation. This is just rough notes because I typed this in literally between 10:30 and 11 o'clock. I'm watching this and taking notes on it. Copeland says that God told him concerning how his body was aging. Quote, here's what Copeland said God said to him. You're going to follow their DNA, their natural DNA. But since you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God, which lives and abides forever, he said, you have my DNA in your spirit. That's Kenneth. He said, God told him that he is following the DNA of his ancestors, which is corrupt. And now he needs to change his DNA so that he's not corrupt anymore. And he said, you have my DNA in your spirit. And if you will take hold of that truth and speak the word of God concerning that, you'll change the outcome. And he said, I didn't know yet that I could change my DNA with my thoughts and words, but I noticed that when I did speak that word, my spiritual DNA arrested that, my physical DNA. Unquote. Now, get ready. I'm going to post this video. I'm going to post this video already on facebook.com/PastorMikeOnline. Because Copeland starts out, it's his show. It's his $1 million that he's going to make off of this. So it's his show. So he starts out the show and he's introducing Dr. Caroline Leaf and her concepts about if you think certain thoughts, you rewrite your own DNA. And he's going to introduce her. So he's telling all this, how he became aware of this back years ago. And now he's going to introduce her. And I'm not kidding you. The very first thing she said that came out of her mouth was a quotation from the book of Ecclesiastes. Now you're going, okay, so what? She said, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. And I went, do you know what Ecclesiastes 7 is? It's the 666th chapter of the Bible. Do it again! I'm not kidding you. I just went, I can't believe she did that. And here's what Ecclesiastes 7:29 says in the King James. It says, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Now, let me tell you how true that is. How does your dog walk? Bowed down, all fours. How do horses walk? All fours. How do crickets and alligators and monkeys and bears, they can stand up, but they can't do it for long. They're not designed that way. God made man different than the other animals. He's upright. He gave us the ability to stand. So that verse is true, exactly the way it says. And then it says, but they have sought out many inventions. Now, the first thing out of her mouth was, Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, I made them perfect, but they chose to go down their own pathway. That is not what it says. That is not what the Bible says. Their doctrine is, hers and Kitty, because Copeland and his wife, who's not aging near as well as he is, both agreed that they believe this idea that we were created perfect. And because of man's negative thoughts, which made negative confessions, we ruined it. But we can reclaim that perfection back by changing our thoughts, which would make positive confessions, which would rewrite our DNA. Basically, you can write sin right out of your body. You can write disease right out of your body. You can write healing into your body. You can write salvation into your body. You can erase negative thoughts, bad relationships, poverty. You can erase all of that out of your DNA and just write in there with your own thoughts whatever it is you want. And that will be part of your genetic code from here on out. People, that's witchcraft. That is it precisely what God said not to do. God wrote me this way for a reason. Some of it I understand. But I'm not about to change it. Let me read some more here. Dr. Lee said, we are made perfect, able to make good choices, designed to be in line with God, made in His image. The body has to do the bidding of the soul, which has the bidding of the spirit. So what she's saying is, if your spirit takes control, then your body has to serve your spirit. That is not what Jesus said. Jesus said the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that the body does not do what the spirit does. Paul said it in Romans 7. Paul said in Romans 7, he said, I've got two laws in me. He said, I've got two things in me. One is a good thing, one is a no good thing. And he said, that I want to do, what my spirit wants to do, my body says, no, forget it, I ain't doing that. And what I don't want to do, what my spirit doesn't want to do, my body says, guess what I'm doing today? Go read Romans 7. That is exactly her doctrine, and his doctrine is contrary to what God said. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to call your master? Who are you going to listen to? Because let me tell you, this whole thing is about works. If you think and say and do, then you can have what God has. Instead of it being provided free of charge and free of any positive confessions you make, you can earn it if you rewrite the book that God already wrote for you. Because it's God wrote it perfect and you corrupted it with your bad, evil thoughts. So you need to rewrite it back, and you can write your own salvation. You can write eternal life. You can write riches into your life. You can write health into your life. You can even erase death. And people, that is the message that is coming out of the charismatic movement and out of most of these churches, even non-charismatic ones, is the same one that the scientists are figuring on right now. Let's go ahead and proceed with eliminating death from the human body. Anyway, she says, how we react to things changes the DNA as we choose. It causes the DNA to change. The signal of our mind is changing our DNA. The thoughts we are thinking now are impacting every single one of the cells in our body. She says that these thoughts are in the quantum world. And I... she's from South Africa, and she's got a little bit of an accent, and so I had to go back and listen to what she said again, because I didn't catch it the first time, and I'm going, what'd she say? Something world, quantum world. You know what she said after that? Listen to this one. I'm going to put my finger right on the music button. Here we go. She said, every thought that we are thinking is impacting ourselves. Plus, those of whom you are in a relationship with, because we are entangled in each other's lives. She said it, and she knew exactly what she was talking about, and she knew all about quantum mechanics and quantum physics and quantum entanglement, which says if a particle in Austin, Texas puts on a pair of sunglasses, the particle in Nashville, Tennessee will put on a pair of sunglasses. They're entangled. Okay? If one gets wet, the other one is wet. If one is dry, the other one is dry. That's how it works. They're entangled together, that if as one goes, so goes the other. And it's basically as above, so below. If what's above falls, then what's below falls. If what's above does this, then the what's below comes to meet it. That's what quantum entanglement is, and that's what she's teaching. She is teaching entanglement and quantum stuff about how something can be, is not, and yet is at the same time, like the beast in Revelation 17. So she says, we are entangled in each other's lives. She basically says what people, the people around us, what they think has an effect on our DNA, because we will be thinking how they're thinking. She said it's affecting the future generations as well, because the thoughts from your father, your grandfather, has come through the sperm and the ova, that's what she said, and it passes to the next four generations, and then the next four generations, and then the next four generations. And I'm going to find some videos by her, because she's teaching this now in Christianity. She claims to be a Christian, and Copeland just in love with this gal. You can see it, okay, because she's feeding what he's been preaching for the last 50 some odd years, that if you think positive thoughts, you'll positive words, and your positive words will create positive things for you. And all of it, every bit of this, people, bypasses the cross and the mediator, Jesus Christ. Every bit of it does. They say it doesn't, but it does. And watch this now. She says that the brain and its parts are a tree. She then quotes Revelation 22:2, where it talks about a tree of life and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. She said that our brain is like a tree and it can heal. That's where she gets it from, this really obscure, twisted, perverted view of the tree of life in heaven. That's where she gets, well, my brain's like a tree, so therefore, with this tree, I could, now, I think the tree concept that she's got here is pretty interesting, because there are, in fact, two trees. And one of those trees was promised to bring immortality. The other one was the tree of life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, the devil sold it as, ye shall not surely die, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. She said, my mind signal that actually activates the genes. She talked about cognitive dissonance. I've got some ideas on that. I'm not ready to talk about it yet. Let me show you what they advertised at the end of the program. Now, get ready. This is the special that you can have. My brain. You get the book and the DVD. How much does it say? Book and a 3-DVD set. The anatomy of a thought, the toxic thoughts, the detox your brain, and here we go. Here we go. 13 steps. 13 steps, people, to detoxing. 13 steps to becoming illuminated like a god. What is that? It's that right there. And it fits perfectly in with using enchantments. Because enchantments is all about saying the positive words or saying the magical words or saying the repeated words over and over and making positive confessions over and over and over again so that you can invoke a deity. Because Copeland believes that God is in a cell with chains on and he no longer has permission to do any work in this world because he gave man dominion over it. And if you want something done in your life, then you've got to release God so God can work on your behalf. But he's bound right now. God put man in dominion over this world. God's not dominion no more over this world. Bless God. Praise Jesus. You've got to release God. And how you release God is making these faith force positive confessions in your life so you can have a private jet like me and Creflo Dollar, because we need those jets. Bless God. Praise Jesus. We need those jets for prayer time while we're going to our meetings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, I read that article. 13 steps. Look here. 13 steps. 13 steps. Which brings about illumination. The detoxifying of your mind so that now your mind operates on this 14th level of illumination and you'll be a god. You will be a god if you just take the 13 steps. Guys, my mind is... You're going to see this. I'm going to put some more work into it. But it filled in a gap that I had on the Watchman broadcast script dealing with enchantments. This is going in there. And I'm going to look some more into Dr. Leaf. If you want to do some of the research, fine, send it to PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. If you find anything, if you find something, write it down. It would be easier on me if you wrote out what she said rather than me watching, because there's one video that I've got in the queue that's over an hour long by her. Okay? It would help me if you hear it or you got her book or whatever it is. Jot it down. Send it to me. Tell me what she said. Okay? Because I'm going to look into this. This is big, people. Listen. You need to understand this. The scientists are all telling us we need to change our DNA. Now the preachers are. You and I, and the true Bible believers of this world, are going to be the only ones who won't. We'll be the only ones. You will need your shield of faith and your helmet of salvation to be able to stand in that evil day. I promise you, you're going to need it. So get it going. And by the way, our God's not chained up somewhere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. He is King of kings and Lord of lords.